This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Second and final hour, WEEI Afternoons. Dan Ball, KJ Carson in for the guys, Hart, Fitzy, and Ted, who are back next week. You'll have Hart and Fitzy on Monday. Well, you'll have them on Sunday for the postgame show. Then you'll have them on Monday for the second postgame show, in which they'll talk to Drake May and Marcus Jones. And then you'll have the full crew on Tuesday with the full breakdown. The TED Talk, as always, you know how it rolls. But we are with you up until 4 o'clock today. Coverage of the Liberty Bowl via ESPN Radio comes your way at 4. It's Navy against Cincinnati. So that's what we're handing you off to at 4 o'clock. We got plenty more in terms of Patriots conversation, KJ. And before we get into our three-point stance, wanted to clean up the phone lines. Tyler is in New Hampshire. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. So I just had a quick take on the whole Stephon Diggs and Christian Barmore thing, right? I know people have been talking about this lately, but the fact that Mike Vrabel said that he's not disappointed by this, it's not surprising to me, and I think it's the right decision. It's not that he's not taking these allegations seriously, but they're allegations. We don't know if he's innocent. We don't know if he's guilty of it yet, and they still have a job to do. His main focus is getting the team physically and mentally prepped for Miami this weekend, and then it's on to the postseason. So I feel like dwelling on what may or may not be is an unwanted distraction, and he's trying to focus on what's more important for the team right now.
Tyler, thank you for the call. KJ, did anything about that Mike Vrabel press availability ring in your ears when you heard it for the first time?
Did he just read? You saw what my title is for my three-point stance, right? It's Mike Vrabel is not the father. Like this caller, Tyler, just, and it's funny, Tyler took the words out of my mouth but didn't even say hello to me. He's just like, hi, Dan.
Yeah.
Like, they, very rude
start.
Just took off one shoe. I'm going to leave one shoe on for KJ.
Yeah, so, there you go.
So I'll leave my thoughts for a three-point stance when we get to him because it walks right into that.
Beautiful. Okay, perfect. Brian, you heard the man. It's time for the three-point stance.
Oh, we're on.
Just count to three.
That's three!
Three shall be the number thou shalt count.
Pierce for three. Let's go!
Three fabulous flyers.
And the number of the counting shall be three.
John Tip scores! Ties it 3-3!
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, a handful of hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. We get 60 seconds for our opening stances. KJ, I'll lead us off with mine. Brian Frazoco, may I have 60 seconds on the clock.
Dan, your 30 seconds begins right now.
My how long seconds?
60 seconds.
My six, there we go. I was going to say, I could go in 30 seconds. That's easy. Okay. There's a new dynamic duo in Boston sports that is emerging right before our very eyes. This is a little bit of a nitty-gritty niche way of looking at sports in Boston, but a lot of Bruins fans are looking for some positivity right now. As the team has gone through a bit of a rough stretch, they beat Edmonton, but had lost six games previously. We're making some sloppy decisions. So I point to you to the future of the Boston Bruins. Who doesn't love a good dynamic duo? Tatum and Brown, John Henry and his wallet. Everybody loves a dynamic duo in Boston sports. The new one that's emerging right now via Team USA and the World Junior Championships is James Higgins, who was drafted 7th overall by the Bruins in this past year's draft, and Will Zellers, who was acquired with Casey Mittelstadt and a 2nd-round pick from the Avalanche in exchange for Charlie Coyle and a 5th-round draft pick. Zellers had the game-winning goal in each of the USA's first three games. He has 15 points, including 10 goals in 18 games as a freshman at North Dakota. James Higgins was a point-per-game player at Boston College last year. He's still on that same pace, if not better, this season. These two guys, with David Pastrnak, with Morgan Geekie, with Charlie McAvoy on the back end, represent the future of the Boston Bruins, and I think the two of them are going to be a lot of fun to watch in a couple years' time.
Boy, that is some rude end of Academy Award music they just gave me. Talk about the shut up music. I was like, gosh, what are they about to push him off the ledge?
Hey, man, welcome to the 3-point stance. But I feel this is also illustrating that I understand that the present for the they are far and away fourth out of four in terms of the give a crap meter right now in Boston sports, and I recognize that. But they have
you got to buy low and sell high, right?
That's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm hoping, and I'm hoping that for the first time, KJ, we actually have prospects in the system to discuss. We have a future and a direction that I think is fun to discuss, and I'm hoping that these guys turn into something that they're representing right now on the national stage. Brian, did you have your hand in the air?
Well, I was just going to ask, because Sweeney has taken so much criticism, and rightfully so, for the way he's drafted and tried to bring up some of these young pieces, whether it's through trading or just the draft picks he made.
Yeah.
How much of a leeway is he going to have?
Well,
how much growth are we going to have to see from these guys right out of the gate? You know, we obviously haven't seen Higgins at the pro level and a lot of these other younger guys. Like, how much leeway are they going to get, especially if they're not a playoff team this season?
I think they're at least going to get another year after this year. Not to say that it's warranted or deserved. I think him and Neely should have lost their job a while ago. But they let them, KJ, go through a rebuild. And when you let a front office go through the admittance that, hey, we're not competing anymore, let's blow this roster up, it signifies to me, well, I think they believe that these guys deserve a shot to rebuild this thing the right way, and I just don't see them going anywhere anytime soon.
I thought the dynamic duo you were going to say was Jacobs having the arena and then making the Celtics pay rental. I never have to build up my team. I don't care that the Celtics, now that the little neighborhood in Everett is going to be gone,
yeah,
for the soccer stadium, like, where are the Celtics going to go? Like, if I'm Jacobs, I'm like, I raise the price now.
This is where I bankroll it right here, is what they do.
More money for me.
Man, yeah, that sounds like the Red Sox front office.
Well, people asking for that to be rebuilt, like, physically, too.
Please, I'm begging, not asking. KJ, I'm past the point of asking about the whatever. Well, we won't go too far into that. But anyways, that is the dynamic duo for the Boston Bruins that I think is developing. And I would also point you to the World Juniors quarters tonight at 6 out in Minnesota. They're playing Finland. Those guys have been awesome. Okay, so our caller, Tyler, a couple minutes ago, teed up what is going to be KJ's 3-point stance. KJ,
actually,
are you
Tyler's
ready, my friend?
Agent. Tyler's actually my agent. That's why I purposely didn't say my name when he called. I'm totally kidding.
Oh,
but I am 60 seconds, right? Because you know I have a mouth, so I'm going to try and do this in 60 seconds, 62 at the most.
And anybody who listens to to specifically Ted Johnson's knows that 60 seconds is a very flexible number.
I'm going to respect the rules of the house, right?
Okay.
My shoes are off. You know, I'm not opening your refrigerator without anybody, you know, asking. So,
well, okay. Tyler in New Hampshire decided not to respect those rules, so I appreciate you doing that even way. All right.
Customer's always right.
All right, Brian, let's give him 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Clocks begins now.
Clocks begins right now.
Mike Vrabel should not be disappointed in the distractions, because disappointment is an adjective, but distractions is not a proper noun. See, low-key, the goal was to try and pin the word distractions, plural, onto Diggs and Barmore. A not-so-clever way to ask, are you disappointed in Barmore and Diggs?
Oh!
Look, parents can be disappointed in children. Vrabel is not the father of any man on this roster.
Yes! Yes!
If Vrabel says yes, I am disappointed, then the media would convert distractions into a proper noun like Diggs and Barmore. See, it's a perceived lens that still exists that the coach controls the human and the player. See, neither man has had their day in court. The head coach don't need to be making any statements to the public to be used in a court of law. So kudos to Mike Vrabel for not following for the gotcha question. I mean, we the media are part of the distractions, right? Oh, I nailed it.
Right on the nose. See, it's not that hard.
No, it's called being a professional, right?
That's right.
You ask for 60 seconds, I'll give you 60 seconds.
Pause. Okay. onward we trudge.
Pause.
And I think it's So that answer, and we played it off
it's
the top of the
3
show.
Minutes.
You
yeah.
probably, you, okay, all right. Happy New Year to you. The answer that we played it off the top of the show, you've probably heard it a million times at this point with Vrabel saying, you know, not disappointed at all. Actually, Brian, we played it off. Brian, can you pull that up real quick and let me know when you have it ready? The Vrabel answer from the press conference, just to give the proper reminder of this is what we're talking about, because Vrabel was asked, of course, as he was going to be, about how he felt about this. Here's what he said.
Well, I would say not disappointing at all. I think that these are allegations. Like you mentioned in your question, it's things that we have to handle, and every day that there's distractions, some are smaller than others. And, you know, I'm confident that, you know, we'll focus on the Dolphins, and, you know, those two individuals that you mentioned will, you know, be able to, you know, handle the ongoing legal process.
So, Dan, I think every part of that answer for me, KJ, was great, yeah. except the very, very beginning, but I'll get to that in a moment. Go ahead.
Well, here's the other part. So can you imagine when they start putting jury pools together if this does go to court? You know what one of the questions is going to be? Are you a fan of the New England Patriots? And are you familiar with Mike Vrabel's appearances on WEEI? If he said, yes, I am disappointed in these distractions that are going. Because that's the stuff that gets used when you go to case trial, right? So, like, you can't offer up any piece of, you can't even offer up a salt shaker at the dinner table of any type of thing that can be used or held against you, right? Because in these allegations world that these players live in,
yeah,
Mike Vrabel is an official voice, right? So if they're like, well, I'm not disappointed, to be like, well, did they know about this? And here's the other thing. Even if you ask the question, are you surprised at the distractions? One happened in August. You don't think, like, okay, this industry where it makes $17 billion a year, that's what, just two Patriot teams, right? So,
right,
they're going to know within 48 to 72 hours if something has happened, not saying anything about the law, but I'm sure the team knew about what happened in August, according to the report. I mean, with the Barmore situation, there would be clear evidence that the team would know. And then the situation with Steph Diggs, you know, that happened, what, three games have happened before it became news? So they had to have known. So that's why I don't think it ever was a distraction, because it's already knowledge.
Here's my only thing on his answer. I thought everything that he mentioned about, you know, just there's noise that happens. Things happen during a season. We're just focused on the task at hand. Was the message that he got across, and I thought that was the right one. I even thought just saying not disappointing at all was too much.
So you're really the at all part.
I wouldn't have even acknowledged the emotional side of this. I'm not going to comment on anything regarding my feelings about this. Maybe that's just me playing semantics. A year's worth of working with Andy Hart has taught me that you got to find every single detail to push back against.
You said gymnastics or semantics?
Yes, the answer to that is yes. But
he has the height to be a gymnast, by the way.
Even that part.
I'm sorry.
But push back. Drake May will take care of this for us. He'll do our bidding. Even that to me was too much. I wouldn't have even acknowledged the idea of disappointment or anything involving his own personal feelings. I would have just talked about, we have a game to play. Basically, the equivalent of I'm just here so I don't get fined. That would have been my only pushback to it.
Well,
Ravens.
Not disappointing at all.
Yeah, cut those four words out, and I'm good.
Well, because the low-key goal of the question was to try and pin the word distractions, plural, onto Diggs and Barmore, right? Because you have to really kind of be steeped in English grammar a little bit. I don't use too much of it while I'm on the show. It's on purpose. But it's taking a common noun and trying to make it a proper noun, right? Because if you're like, yeah, well, then the question would be like, well, what or who are the distractions? Well, then you would go for another noun. And then the proper noun is Barmore and Diggs. So if you even say, yeah, I'm disappointed at the distractions, but we've got to move forward, well, the distractions become a proper noun, and it's Diggs and Barmore. And now, so you just stay away from that, because disappointed is an adjective. So yeah, I could be disappointed in the team's play.
Yeah.
I could be disappointed in my kids' grades, but he's not their father. He's not any of those guys on his roster's father. And therefore, you know, he's their head coach, and he has to be able to separate that. And I think he did that, and I don't really have a problem with it. Now, the tone I think people may have, but, you know, that's tone.
Before we move on to Zach Coe, the idea man, and his three-point stance, Kevin is in Saratoga. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, how are you?
Sorry about the roaring 20s there, Dan Bell. We're in the same fantasy league. I lost in the championship.
Oh, really? Anyway, oh, no kidding. Okay.
I just wanted to bring up, the camaraderie in locker rooms and clubhouses. I went to 21 games at Fenway last year. Sox team, they're young. They got a lot of talent. I think they all like each other. I think bringing in a couple guys that they have might gel. Moving over to the Celtics, they obviously gel with each other. They get along. I just think it's a big thing for sports. Obviously, no one wants to play for the Yankees, so it could be a thing. I mean, it's not like we're not talking about signings or free agents, but I think it's a big thing in sports.
There you go. Kevin, thank you for the call, and I have some investigation to do. Apparently, we share a fantasy football league together, which I was unaware of when we were taking that. But
someone in your football league that you don't know?
I don't know. I got some information to try to dig up during the commercial break. But aside,
Gimbal, I'm in your fantasy league. I want to meet you.
I mean... Autographs
turn your
aren't
head left or right.
Autographs aren't cheap. Autographs aren't cheap. So the point being camaraderie in Boston sports. I mean, that's the pejorative term is the winning with the power of friendship. That's what the Bruins were doing at the beginning of the year. That was a big thing that was credited to a guy like Alex Bregman and how he was able to help the young guys with the Red Sox this year. And the idea was if you traded Devers away, the camaraderie would grow with the Red Sox. And maybe part of that is true. I don't know. But how big of a factor, KJ, is camaraderie on a sports team versus just sheer talent? Does it matter at all compared to the talent that you have?
Well, first, you got to do your job. I wouldn't want you guys to all get along and be, whether you're like 10 games under 500 in the NFL or, 25 games out of first in the AL East, I don't want you guys to still just get along. I don't want you to fight either. But, camaraderie is one of those, I guess from an entertainment perspective, right? Like, there's a respect, first of all, that happens. And then it's like, okay, does my lifestyle and their lifestyle necessarily match up? No. So you don't necessarily want to force people into situations, but you want to blend them in. So it's almost kind of like it's like summer camp. Have you ever been to summer camp, Dan?
Of course.
Okay. Remember as a kid. So you get like a week,
right?
Like you might have a week. So you might meet a girl like that first day at camp, and by like Monday afternoon, you guys are boyfriend and girlfriend because the relationship is over Saturday when everybody goes home.
Kind of camps are you going to?
It was actually a Bible camp, right? So this is true, right? So where, only one boy and one girl could sit next to each other during the 6 o'clock thing they would do after dinner. So I was one of those lucky to sit next to the girl. Now, mine was even more drastic because it was a far ago time away and people less understanding, more Old Testament guys. Right? there is that urgency where the caller is right. Like, if we're all here to do a job, there has to be that urgency like we're in Bible camp and trying to meet a girl, right? Like we need to be able to get on the same page and get this done. But at the same time, all of you are paid to do a job and to be here. So do the job. And if you guys get along, that's a bonus versus you guys get along and not doing your job. I can't keep you around to hang out because you guys get along.
There you go, Kevin. I hope that answered your question. Treat every Boston sports team like Bible camp, and you'll be all right. All right. Zach Coe, the idea man.
The girl.
I give you 60 seconds for your three-point stance. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, here's 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All righty. Buster only with the new report today that the Red Sox have made an aggressive offer to third baseman Alex Bregman. We're a little bit over a month away from pitchers and catchers, and it's safe to say that fans are pretty annoyed with the way the offseason has gone so far. The power bat to replace Rafael Devers hasn't come, and the money hasn't been spent that they willingly offered you in June that they were going to reinvest that money. But the offseason isn't over, and there's still a path to a successful one for the Red Sox. Alex Bregman is still out there. Bo Bichette is still out there. Even Kyle Tucker is still out there if you wanted to go that route. They're not going to. That's my preferred route. I still think they need to add another pitcher. Freddy Peralta hasn't been traded. The Cole Reagans rumors with the Jaren Duran swap are still out there. You'll probably have to add more on top of that. The point being is that there are still so many different pieces out there that will help make the Red Sox a true World Series contender this year. The only question is, do you trust Craig Breslow to do it?
Oh, and that's where that stops. There you go. Zach Coe couldn't get there within the 60. Sorry, man. But point being,
happens to the best of us.
The question that you ask, do you trust Craig Breslow to do that? Of course I don't. I trust Craig Breslow to go bargain bin hunting with the best of them to try to outsmart his way into the proper, something that he believes is the skill equivalent. But the actual cojones to be able to go after guys that are difference makers in the middle of your lineup in the front of the rotation. Of course, KJ, I don't have that kind of trust in Craig Breslow, and I never will.
Well, I wonder if the aggressiveness of the Red Sox is still that leftover Juan Soto money. Right?
Yeah.
Aren't we working with $600 million to work with, guys? Like, come on. Like, spending should not be an obstacle, but I think it's an excuse for why the team is not going to do what they're going to do. I think the problem a little bit with Major League Baseball is there are a lot of teams that need to be carried financially by the Yankees, by the Red Sox, by the Dodgers, by the Cubs. I would even throw the Astros in there a little bit because they carry their weight in the southwestern region of the country. So you might be one of those teams that are like, well, you know what? I'm not really just going to spend a whole lot so I can give more to the tax situation and all that and pay for other teams. I just think this ownership is going to be like, people are going to come to Fenway. And I think the only remedy of you, if you want to make them spend more, unfortunately, you're going to have to spend more probably going to some of these road games. So that way their owners can get into this owner's ear and saying, hey, I need you to keep fielding. I need you to put a team out there because a lot of your people are showing up to my ballpark and they're giving me like sellouts or near sellouts. They're helping me. That's how you exert the power.
617-779-7937. That is our 3-point stance for today. Coming up, plenty more on the Patriots, their matchup against the Dolphins, the latest around some of the other headlines that happened with the Patriots this week. We'll get to that before we hand you over to coverage of college football at 4 o'clock. Bowl season continues here on WEEI. All of that is after Zach Coe. Get you caught up on what's trending.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Celtics beat the Kings 120-106 last night in Sacramento. Jaylen Brown led the way with 29 points and 10 rebounds. Seas will wrap up their 4-game road trip tomorrow night in LA, taking on the Clippers. Tip off from Intuit Dome at 10:30. Bruins are also off today before they wrap up a West Coast trip of their own. They're in Vancouver tomorrow night, taking on Jake DeBrusque, if he plays, and the Canucks. Puck drop from Rogers Arena at 10. Teams USA, Sweden, and Finland Hockey announced their rosters for the 2026 Olympics this morning. 4 Bruins will be represented in Milan next month. Jeremy Swayman and Charlie McAvoy for Team USA. Center Elias Lindholm for Sweden. And defenseman Henry Jokiharju will represent Finland. Patriots were back on the practice field today ahead of Sunday's regular season finale against the Dolphins. Mike Vrabel met with the media a little over an hour ago. He ruled out Robert Spillane, Kyrie Tonga, Harold Landry, and Jared Wilson for that matchup against Miami. Tight end Jack Westover will be questionable. As for left tackle Will Campbell and defensive tackle Milton Williams, it's looking good for them to be activated off of injured reserve. In Red Sox news, according to ESPN's Buster Olney, the Sox have made an aggressive offer to third baseman Alex Bregman. Finally, college football playoff semifinals are set. Oregon beat Texas Tech to advance to the Peach Bowl, where they'll face top-seeded Indiana after their beatdown of Alabama in the Rose Bowl. Ole Miss beat Georgia thanks to a last-minute field goal. They'll take on Miami in the Fiesta Bowl. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you missed any part of the show,
or to have it delivered to your phone daily,
subscribe to the WEEI Afternoons podcast on the Odyssey app
or wherever you find your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
WEEI Afternoon on a Patriots Friday. Dan Ball, KJ Carson with you up until 4 o'clock today. Coverage of college football via ESPN Radio. The Liberty Bowl beginning at 4 o'clock today, so get your bets in. Navy against Cincinnati here this afternoon. So we teased this earlier on in the program, but per NFL mandates, both Stephon Diggs and Christian Barmore spoke to the media, were made available to the media, and obviously the media doing their due diligence went and spoke to them. So let's begin, Brian, with Stephon Diggs. Answer number one, this is how he opened up his media availability today.
Sorry, I didn't, you know, it's been a couple of days. I usually get to talk to you on Wednesday, but, you know, obviously it's a different time, very emotional time. Taken back by some, you know, things that's been going on. But I want to be here to say sorry I wasn't available for those couple of days. You know, it's a different kind of time. But dealing with everything, it's definitely an open case, so I can't even say anything about it. I will be open to any football questions, anything you want to know. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be rude or, you know, disrupt in any way. So if anybody asks me a question that pertaining to it, I'm obviously just give you a look. You know, y'all kind of know me at this point, but shoot.
Okay, that's the first answer. KJ, any surprise? I mean, it was very much just we're going to talk about football and nothing more. I was a little surprised. I wasn't familiar with the nuances of the NFL rulebook when it comes to this, but the fact that both did actually speak to the media caught me a little bit off guard, but I guess that's just kind of how the rule is written. But anything jump out to you from that opening statement?
I think it's no different than when we were on together a couple days ago, when the day that everything hit, and you remember I said they're not going to make him available on Wednesday, right? So that gives time for legal to be able to talk with Diggs, his representation, to be able to say this is what we recommend that you stay away from. Really, yeah. It's not so much telling him what he can say, is this is what you want to stay away from. So best that you, or Diggs, make that statement right off the bat. So that way you can't ask him, well, why weren't you here? Why didn't you speak to us Wednesday? He explained why. He said, look, because it's an ongoing legal open case, I can't discuss. So that allows for no questions to sneak in there. And I do know about the mandate that the NFL has. Like, you just can't hide players away.
Right.
There'll be a fine. And I don't think the Patriots want to find themselves in being complicit, potentially, and by not making him available. So the player would get fined. The team would get a huge fine, right? So there's no point in doing that, because now the question would be, okay, why was the team willing to take a fine for Stephon Diggs not being available to talk? What's going on? And that would be a fair question, right? So I'm a big compliance guy. So why these guys were available today was to be in compliance, not because you want them talking, but you just want to be in compliance with the league.
Personally, though, I wouldn't mind one bit if the Patriots took the fine on both of their behalves. I'm sure it
That's
was
a big one.
I'm sure it was a discussion between. This goes back to the Robert Kraft ability to spend on the roster and all that kind of stuff. And I understand that's a conversation.
Wait, rich get bothered by a $100,000, $200,000, six figure thing that suddenly has to come out of your pocket.
Yeah, but I mean that's chump change. If you're trying to focus on, if you're believing in Mike Vrabel's thing of we're just focusing on the task at hand, then that should be chump change for the organization if Diggs or Barmore or both say, hey, I'd really not prefer to speak. I'll pay the money if you guys are comfortable taking the team.
Or why wake up the sleeping bear of the NFL, right? Like, if the NFL now has to send down a fine, then suddenly to be like, why don't you go ahead and slide over those Diggs and Barmore files while you're at it? No. If you're not talking about any type of suspension, let's not even go there. Let's not even set the league off by saying we're going to have to fine the Patriots for not making players available, and those players would get fined as well. And then this is where the distractions that you people are wondering how Vrabel worded it would really become big, and they would be self-created, because now the team has done something to run afoul of the league, which is just going to open more. You just don't even want to open those can of distraction worms.
And that
worms
was the
noun in there.
Yeah. That was the decision that they ended up making, and neither guy stepped in it today, as far as I've heard and have read. Nobody said anything, you know, incriminating or that. Put themselves up to any more criticism. But I if they chose the chose not to open themselves up to the threat at the cost of whatever you mentioned, $100,000, whatever it would have been.
I think it's a six-figure one for the league.
And I'm sure it is.
To the team, and then the players are like $50,000, something like that.
Yeah, and both guys, I've seen the career earnings page on SpotTrack for both of those guys, and I know they're good for it. And that's, hey, they made their decision. That's why they're in PR and I'm not. But I would not have had a problem.
Also, I don't think the fines are tax deductible either. Oh, are they?
Well, hey, man. Diggs came to New England option 32 out of 32, so he knew what the tax code was going to be when he chose or when nobody else wanted to sign him and he signed here. But we can leave that discussion there. I think it's an interesting one just in terms of team decision making and PR strategies around something that is difficult. Okay, Brian, let's go to cut number two, talking about distractions and how the team handles those.
How do you guys guard against distractions?
It's kind of been a thing throughout the year, you know. We all deal with life stuff, you know, family stuff, or it's the worldly stuff. It's just, you know, being a football team is hard. You band together, you lean on your brothers, you lean on your people that you spend the most time with. And you, for me, you know, I've been dealing my whole life, you know, nothing new to me. So, you know, I just got to roll with the punches, kind of stay as positive as I can. And, you know, it's definitely something you always got to adjust to, but I'm built for whatever.
So this is kind of a two part thought that goes into one question. KJ, you talked about the next man up wide receiver depth and how that has really been a benefit for the Patriots in our 2 o'clock hour. So do you have any expectations of this having an impact on Stephon Diggs on the field? Does this look any different for him down the stretch? I know this is sports washing at its finest to take something that is criminal allegations and talk about the game, but we have a game
don't
in
worry.
2 days for the Patriots, so that's kind of where the mind goes.
Our $40 billion plane awaits us as soon as we're done with the show, if I'm not sports washing here. Look, first I would say it's very hard for the fan to put themselves in the shoes of the players because the players are really like these operating banks for their families, right? Like, so a lot of the things that they're conversing are about things that many of us don't deal with every day, like someone asking you for $50,000, talking about, I know you got it and you're good, or, hey, I got this dog thing I got going on. Can you front it $100,000 down here in Virginia? Like, these are things that these players face day to day to day. So Stephon Diggs is right. Distractions. There's always a distraction. Like, right. the most peaceful time they're going to have, and this is something that Michael Jordan has even told me, so if you want to hit that little thing, is it's the one place they can't get you is on the field. So the next place they can't get you, presumably, is in the locker room. So this is like their safe haven. So, yeah, I don't think they're distracted by football is the distraction they can't wait to jump into. That's why they're not missing practice, right? Like, clearly available for practice, just the lips are not available for the media. So, again, look, the next man up also includes Steph Diggs in this, right? Steph Diggs has not been the primary focal point of Drake May's default this whole season, right? It's not like Steph Diggs is a guy with like 106 receptions, number two in the league, you know, is getting, you know, 8 receptions a game plus. That hasn't been the story. So because of this next man up that has already kind of been built in, I don't expect there to be any distraction where it's going to reduce Stephon Diggs' ability to, you know, bust out for 8 receptions, 115, 120 yards. I still think that can happen, but I also don't think that is what the Patriots have to depend on to win the game.
Right, yeah, that's a fair point because it hasn't been to this. He's had a handful of games where you look at and go, okay, that's Drake May's number one guy, but then he'll go a month where it's Mac Hollins, it's Hunter Henry, it is Ramondre Stevenson, it's Travion Henderson out of the backfield. It's whoever the game plan fits, whoever the hot hand is that they're riding, and it's interesting that, and this is, it's a tough conversation to have, but there is something to the safe haven argument. Does he get out on the field after the week that has been and just kind of have himself a heck of a game? It's going to be fascinating to see where all of this goes, both on field and off for Stephon Diggs. But the other of the two that spoke today, Christian Barmore, we're just going to play this, Brian, from beginning to end. It was not much that came from it. There are a couple different ways that you can handle situations like this in the PR game. There is Stephon Diggs, who was a bit more deep in his answers and his thoughts and what he was sharing. And then there's Christian Barmore. Go ahead.
Christian, in the statement your lawyer released, he did not categorically deny what you're accused of. Would you like a chance now to deny what you're accused of?
I'm focused on Miami playing football.
What were your version of events that day?
I focus on Miami playing football.
What sort of conversations have you had with your teammates about what's going on?
We're focused on Miami to play football.
How are you staying dialed in for Sunday? What are you doing this week specifically?
Going to practice, playing football.
How does it feel to be back in this position again? You were here a couple of years ago.
It's a blessing from God. Thank God for every day. And my coaches, my medical team, everybody.
We talked to Steph a little bit about, and I know your situations are different, but we talked to Steph about avoiding distractions. How do you think this team has done when it comes to avoiding distractions this year?
We're all focused on Miami, the next opponent.
Christian, have you ever threatened to have your cousin beat someone up?
We're focused on Miami, play football.
Anything you want to say to your fans?
Yeah, we focus on football, play for Miami.
Last question, guys. Christian, how are you doing? How are you doing mentally?
Get ready for Miami, play football.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
But here's the other part of that.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
Thank you.
I'm here so I won't get fined. I'm here so I won't get fined.
Here's where the perfect answer from Christian Barmore is, because remember last year, the run-in that he had with Providence Police and the audio that was played. So we've heard extensively what Christian Barmore sounds like in a very tense situation in real time.
Yeah.
Right? This would be another one of those real-time situations with microphones in his face, and the best thing he can say is, we're just focused on football, concentrating on Miami. Right? Because anything else could potentially get conflated with, well, let's look at how he sounded when he had the incident in Providence last year and listen to what he said, because that's what people do, right? You heard some of those questions that came after him that had nothing to do with football,
yeah.
But just to see if he was going to say the same thing, well, just that same way, if you do something or say something different, they can take it a different way. So no reason for anybody to take it anything different, even not even clearing your throat going, Barmore was clearing his throat before he gave the answer, and we were wondering, was something stuck in his throat because of something else that was going on, right? Like, you just avoid all of that.
Right, yeah. There is no room for speculation, no room for overanalyzation, anything like that. So, yeah, two different examples of how to handle somewhat similar situations from press availability today. Stephon Diggs and Christian Barmore are both addressing the media. Barmore missed practice due to what the team considered to be an illness. Diggs has pretty much been available all week, and both are expected to play full tilt coming up on Sunday against Miami. We're running up against the end here on WEEI Afternoons. We have coverage of college football coming up at the top of the hour. So KJ and I will wrap things up next.
Focus on Miami, playing football. Focus on Miami, playing football. We're focused on Miami to play football. Going to practice, playing football. We're all focused on Miami, the next opponent. We're focused on Miami, play football. Yeah, we focus on football, play for Miami. Get ready for Miami, play football.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The sports yakker, the linebacker, and the wisecracker. Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson on WEEI.
Final few moments here on WEEI Afternoons. Dan Ball, KJ Carson, end of a busy week to say the least. So I'm going to echo very quickly what Mego said at the end of Jones and Keefe with John Lyons today. Thank you for bearing with all of us during this week.
Wait a minute. I see myself and you as professionals. So I'm not going to kind of like depreciate what we do here during this time.
Okay.
Right? Right? Think about it. The day that Steph Diggs broke, we were on the air and so many things were flying around.
Yo, yeah, no doubt.
There's a lot of people watching that tape that's in this industry, right? So sometimes good things happen, you know. I just don't like this whole idea of kind of like, oh, suddenly, you know, the ninth grade basketball team is in there playing for Duke. You know, that's not what you have here. You have some people you've worked very hard. Me, I mean, gosh, I used to be a morning guy here in the market. So if anybody should be the one saying anything like, well, damn, how did I fall this? What have I done to thee, O Lord, to fall all the way to fill in on holidays? So But you don't hear me doing that. So
I don't.
Shout out to all my R&B people who miss me from doing R&B here in the mornings, you know. So some things take a backseat. Sports found me, so thank you for saving me.
Well, I mean, you know, and who doesn't love the life of luxury that sports radio radio brings you as we gas up, as you mentioned, as we gas up the plane. But the injury report updates from Mike Vrabel: Harold Landry, Robert Spillane, Jared Wilson, Kyrus Tonga out for Sunday's game with Jack Westover listed as questionable, which KJ clears the lane, so to speak, for a Will Campbell return and a Milton Williams return off of injured reserve. Two very, very welcome sights for the eyes of Patriots fans this weekend, and especially heading into a potential playoff matchup with either the Bills, the Chargers, the Texans, whoever it may be. Those two names are crucial names as the playoffs near.
Especially Williams, right? Because it seems like as soon as Williams went out of the lineup, the run defense started to kind of buckle a little. Some, you know, chips started to come off. The paint chips started coming off a little bit. So he's definitely the one I want to see in there. And the great thing is, since Will Campbell has been out, there hasn't been like this, oh my God, they miss Campbell so bad, the line's falling apart. So that's the really good thing, because if you said this at last year, you're like, wait, so you mean your draft pick left tackle is not there for Drake May?
Right.
You're like, oh my gosh, Drake May is going to be buried underneath the turf by time you get to week 18. So shout out to the offensive line who've had to piece it together and have kept Drake May upstanding, because that's the job, and can't wait for Milton Williams to get back there to center that run defense, especially because that's what A-Chan is, right? For you don't know if he's trying to go for some type of bonus, so he might run a little bit. And then once you get to the playoffs, if it's the Bills, obviously with Cook, or if it's with the Chargers, you know, what Omario Hampton has been able to integrate into what they're doing. So definitely Milton Williams being back, I think, is really the bigger of the two.
The other, and I would 100% agree, and Drake May said as much during his press availability this week, saying that Vidarian Lowe came in and said something to the effect of, and didn't bat an eyelash, didn't blink, didn't
miss a beat. Heck of a job, Brownie. You're doing a heck of a job.
100%. But updates from
didn't say Brownie, but that's a term from... You know, from, I just want to clear that, right, that he didn't say that. It can be misconstrued.
Absolutely fair for the court of law as legal remains on line one this week. Updates from Marcel Louis-Jacques of ESPN, which is one of my favorite names that I've read in a while.
French-Canadian, yeah.
And that Jalen Waddle, questionable for Sunday's game. Darren Waller placed on injured reserve. Minkah Fitzpatrick trending towards missing his third straight game. And Devin Achane not practicing today and unlikely to play on Sunday. So the question then becomes, who actually does play for the Miami Dolphins, with a wide receiver group including Malik Washington, who's had a decent year, sixth round pick in 24, Cedric Wilson, Taj Washington, you know him, you love him, tight ends Greg Dulcich and Julian Hill, running back Jalen Wright, who would lead that room with Quinn Ewers under center. That is a motley crew.
Play again.
No, I won't. I mean, he might have to play wide receiver at this point with that group. I mean, it's a motley crew that the Dolphins would be rolling out. But you hear the wrap-up music there from Brian Frazoco. That means that our time has come to an end. KJ, always a pleasure. Happy New Year. Are you a New Year's resolution guy?
Yeah. Live. That's the resolution.
There you go. And that's one you can strive for. Thanks for joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Brian Frazoco, Zach Coe, thank you to you both. Back behind the glass, coverage of the Liberty Bowl coming up next. Navy against Cincinnati. Have a great rest of your Friday. See ya.
But first,
Zach Coe
does not have what's trending because it's top of the hour. We'll be back after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.